Turning now in the Scriptures to the Gospel of John, the last chapter of the Gospel of John, chapter 21. We are reading this evening verses 1 through 14. John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14. And before we go to the Word and hear the Lord speak to us, let's ask for His blessing. Our gracious Father, we thank You for Your Son, Jesus Christ, and Him crucified and now risen, King, Lord over all. We thank You that He speaks to us through this, Your Word, His Word, for He is the Word of God. We thank You that You have given us Your Spirit, and so, Father, send Your Spirit to those who have not the Spirit, that You would make their souls alive, cause them to be born again unto newness of life, that they would behold the marvelous light being taken out of the darkness, that they would be able to see Jesus. And Lord, for all Your people, grant Your Spirit to illumine our hearts and our minds, which still have that remaining sin and need clarity. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So John 21, verses 1 through 14, these are the words of God. After these things, Jesus manifested Himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And He manifested Himself in this way. Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of His disciples were together. Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." They went out, got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. But when the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. So Jesus said to them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" They answered Him, "No." And He said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you will find a catch." So they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got out on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed on it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to the land, full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question Him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them, and the fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after He was raised from the dead. Thus far in God's Word. Jesus has risen from the dead. He is alive. And still to this day, in our day, He is alive. He is the God-man, the Son of Man, who is highly exalted. And you are to believe in Him unto eternal life, and that you would have life abundantly. It says here, verse 14, this was the third time Jesus revealed Himself to His disciples. And that's what John has been showing us, His revealing Himself to the disciples. The first time was that same evening Christ rose from the dead in the locked room. He did the same thing the next week on the Lord's Day, And then now the third time he revealed himself to the disciples is the passage before us. Verse 14, this is now the third time that Jesus was manifested to the disciples after he was raised from the dead. So this passage again serves to validate the certainty of the resurrection. Now certainly he had appeared to more people than this. At the time, Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James, Cleopas, and his friend, and then privately with Peter. By this time, we look at the other Gospels, we see those things. But it's the third time that he's appeared to his disciples. This is the seventh time total that he's appeared to people in general following the resurrection. Now, the account before us, John 21, is very similar to Luke 5, verses 1 through 11. And so turn there with me. We're going to read that, Luke 5, verses 1 through 11, because we need to have that in mind, as the disciples had that in mind on this day, specifically in the morning of this day, in John 21. So Luke chapter 5, reading verses 1 through 11. Now it happened that while the crowd was pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats lying at the edge of the lake, but the fishermen had gotten out of them and were washing their nets. And he got into one of the boats, which was Simon's, and asked him to put out a little way from the land. And he sat down, began teaching the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch." Simon answered and said, "Master, we worked hard all night and caught nothing. But I will do as you say and let down the nets." When they had done this, they enclosed a great quantity of fish and their nets began to break. So they signaled to their partners in the other boat for them to come and help them. And they came and filled both of the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." For amazement had seized him and all of his companions because of the catch of fish which they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, "Do not fear, from now on you will be catching men." When they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. And so that's Luke chapter 5. Now back in John 21. You see, both passages give a similar account. Verse 1, in our passage there in the Sea of Tiberias, that's the Sea of Galilee. It's another name for the Sea of Galilee, which is northeast of Jerusalem. So we now know that the promise that Jesus made, given to Mary to tell the disciples that he would meet them, appear to them in Galilee, here it is fulfilled. Most likely a good summary verse of the passage is in John's response of knowing who Jesus is when they caught the fish. He says, "It is the Lord." Verse 7, John remembered what happened back in Luke 5, 3 years ago. Couldn't see Jesus. They only heard Jesus, but they didn't recognize his voice at first, right? Just like Mary Magdalene, who did not recognize the voice of Jesus, even though she looked directly at him. But John, the apostle who wrote this book, recognizes that only Jesus could do what he just did because he had done it before. Jesus said in a similar situation, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." And they did so, and they caught a large number of fish. Just like we see and happens in verse 6, immediately John knows it is the Lord. It is our Yahweh, our Savior, the resurrected Christ, our Master. And so in this passage before us, we look at three points. The first point this evening, doing nothing. Doing nothing. We look at this verses 1 through 3. Verse 1, after these things, Jesus manifested himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And he manifested himself in this way. Now, you might be confused when it says that Jesus manifested himself in this way. What does that mean? It means that he manifested himself in the way which we are about to read in verses 2 and following. And so how did Jesus manifest himself? Verse 2. Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two others of his disciples were together. So Peter, Thomas, Nathanael, James, and John, the sons of Zebedee, John, the author of this gospel, and two other disciples are there, most likely being Andrew and Philip. They were together. And very much like Peter, we see verse 3, Simon Peter said to them, "I am going fishing." They said to him, "We will also come with you." It's much like Peter, his personality, because Peter was often a very take-charge kind of a person, always trying to do the right thing, even though he often did it wrongly. But he was often trying to do the right thing. And this was his business before his conversion. And now doing nothing, they're just sitting there, nothing to do. And his Lord and Master have given him and the other disciples no particular service to do at this time. He decides to go fishing. It's better to not be idle and work than to be idle and tempted to sin. But going fishing also would provide for them food, so they didn't have to rely upon others. And those who do not work do not eat, the gospel, the word says. So they know the scriptures, and so they went fishing. Now you can imagine being a professional fisherman as they were. At least we know Simon Peter, James, and John worked together. They were professional fishermen getting into the boat, and they're going fishing all night, and they caught nothing. How would that make you feel if you were a professional and you got absolutely nothing accomplished all night, in which you should be catching fish? It'd be very frustrating. And so it says they went out and got into the boat, and that night they caught nothing. So now we come back and we investigate the similarities in the accounts between John 21 and Luke 5. The disciples went out and they got into Peter's boat in Luke 5. It's very clear in Luke 5 here. It says, verse 3, they went out and got into the boat. Not a boat, again. It's the boat, that they remember catching all of those fish and where their nets were breaking. That was Peter's boat, Simon's boat, after Jesus said, "Cast your nets on the other side." It's now deemed the boat, Peter's boat. In both instances, professional fishermen are fishing at night, and it's not a good night because they caught no fish. They're doing all the right things, but nothing's happening. Both instances, Jesus commands them to try again, a command that would seem pointless given that they are professional fishermen and they have done all that they could since they've been trying all night. And in both instances, they obey the command of Jesus and cast their nets on the other side of the boat or in a few further off. Both instances, there is upon obedience to Jesus instant, rapid success. Now, you think maybe that these two counts are random or coincidence, and absolutely not. They are so similar, and they are similar for our good. One takes place, Luke 5, at the beginning of Jesus' ministry, when he's calling the disciples to follow after him. And one takes place at the end of Jesus' ministry, right before he ascends into heaven and leaves them. And so it's a reminder to them in John 21, reminding them of how they were called, when they were called at the first to follow after him. It's a reminder to them of what they were promised at that time. And so he's saying, basically, through this account, disciples, remember what happened 3 years ago and what I told you. Luke 5, verse 10. When Simon Peter saw it, all the fish, boats sinking, he fell down at Jesus' knees, saying, "Depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord." For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. Jesus said to Simon, "Do not be afraid, for now on you will be catching men." There's the promise. There's their ministry laid out before them. They were to be catching men. So when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Here in John, the situation's being repeated. You see the purpose. Your calling disciples was not changed just because I rose from the dead and soon will be ascending to the Father. Jesus' death and resurrection haven't changed your mission, haven't changed your calling, haven't changed the task or the purpose. Disciples, you are still to be men catchers, fishing for men. Matthew's gospel, in the same account as Luke 5, Jesus said, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Disciples have been with Jesus now for 3 years. And now he's going away soon. And they're thinking to themselves, we will be all alone. How are we, the disciples, going to spend the rest of our lives? How are we going to spend our time? What are we to do? He's reminding ourselves the same thing today. That our one mission on earth, our one great task, our one great calling, our purpose is to be fishing for men. That was an appointment set by Jesus to meet his disciples here, to remind them of this lesson, of their calling. But at least at the start of their conversations, the disciples, having no fish, no success, and all they're doing, it produced what? Nothing. And you can see that they're not in a good mood when Jesus asked them, "Children, you do not have any fish, do you?" And they, very short with Jesus, not knowing who Jesus is anyway, but they answered, "No." It's a short answer. They're not very happy. It's when you are not having much success and someone asks you, "How's it going?" Bad. You know, your demeanor is different often. They're frustrated here. But what are they doing in verse 3? They're fishing without Jesus. They're fishing without Jesus. What is it to fish without Jesus? What is it to fish for men without Jesus? It is pointless. It is for nothing. It is vanity. They were catching nothing. And they're frustrated and short in their response to Jesus. "No," they said. It was night. Therefore, it was dark. It is dark without Jesus. It is fruitless without Jesus. There's nothing being caught in the nets. They're out there for hours, and they're professionals at this. They're out there for hours, and what is going on in their minds? You know, the last time we went fishing, what happened? They'd probably be having conversations like that. What was happening the last time they went fishing? Jesus came and there was so much fruit. The nets were breaking. Tons of fish. And now Jesus is going away. He's going to the Father. He's leaving us. Is this then what life is going to be like? Fruitless. No success. Is this what our fishing is going to be like? Even our fishing for men. Working hard and getting nowhere. There's a parallel here with our lives. We are disciples of Jesus Christ. If we have believed for salvation, we trust Jesus, we seek to obey Him, and yet if we're honest with ourselves, there's often with us little real sense of the presence of Christ. We're busy, we're diligent, and yet what do we have to show for all our efforts? A preacher can preach diligently a sermon, preach it well, mean it in his heart. And yet there can be something missing. For the preacher, there can be a feeling of deadness or heaviness or lifelessness about it when he's finished. He asks himself sometimes, "What have I really accomplished?" And often in our lives, we feel like that. We're busy, we're tired, we're doing all this stuff, working. It seems like we're working in the dark. Not getting anywhere, not getting anything actually done, or not anything worthwhile. Doing nothing is the first point. The second point in the next 3 verses, 4 through 6, we see guidance. Guidance. They thought their Lord and Master wasn't there, but He was there. They thought He couldn't know what was happening, but He did know. Luke 5, Jesus was in the boat with them. This time He is not. He is on the shore. He's on the beach. When the day was now breaking, Jesus stood on the beach, yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Jesus isn't in the boat, and He won't be in the boat anymore. He's leaving the disciples. Now they've reached a new stage in the history of redemption. Jesus is not going to be physically with them anymore. But He's still with them, isn't He? By His Spirit, Pentecost is coming. He's still watching. He's still caring as He is King over all. He still knows what is happening because He is omniscient. He knows all things. Verse 5, He knows everything. He says, children, you do not have any fish, do you? He knows. Can't see physical with physical eyes, but He knows. He knows they have no fish. This is the same Jesus who knows everything about you right now. Jesus knows that your material frustrations, your difficulties, your personal frustrations, your disappointments, your failures, your besetting sins, the places you fall down. He knows your fears and even how fruitful or fruitless your ministry is on this earth. And Jesus directs them to do what? Cast the net on the right-hand side of the boat and you will find a catch. What happens? What happened when they were doing all the fishing without Jesus? They caught nothing. Nothing happened. But when they are following after Jesus, loving Him, obeying Him, verse 6, so they cast, and then they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. Now they were not able to haul it in because of the great number of fish. The implied promise is here. Jesus showing them, showing us, I'm not going to be in the boat with you physically. I'm not going to be physically present with you, but I will still be with you by my Spirit. I will be directing you, guiding you. I will still bless you. Here's the principle that was laid out before us previously in John 15, verse 5. Jesus speaking, I am the vine, you are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. That's the lesson Jesus is reminding them about here. He won't be in the boat with them, but He's still present with them. He's guiding them. He's directing them. We have to remember the same truth for us. He's not here physically. Without Jesus, we can do nothing. Absolutely nothing. The temptation and sin of much of the church today is to trust in our what we know. It's techniques, it's efforts, it's methods, it's plannings. These men were expert fishermen. They'd fished on this large lake all of their lives. Anything about fish, catching fish in this lake, especially in particular, catching fish in the Sea of Galilee, they knew about it. They knew how to do it. They were the world experts, we might say, in fishing in the Sea of Galilee. Fishing at the right time, the right place, with the right equipment. They've done it hundreds of times, maybe thousands of times before. But the gospel is showing us very clearly that when fishing for men, if you are doing so without Jesus, you will not catch anything. You'll catch nothing. You can make all the effort in the world, advertising, people in the church do this, money campaigns, moving to a new building, and still catch nothing. Huge efforts, great endeavors, no fruit. Obedience and trust leads to blessing. They worked all night, though, nothing. Now they throw over the net on the other side of the boat in obedience to the call. What happens? Verse 11, the net was full of large fish, 153 of them. A huge number for fishermen. Here's the promise to the disciples. We see it in Acts. Peter preaching at Pentecost. Thousands coming into the kingdom. Thousands. Throughout history, we'll see millions upon millions and billions, perhaps upon billions. And it's happening today. In China, in the last 50 years, over 100 million people have professed faith in Jesus Christ. It's obviously an approximant. It's happening over the world, all over the world. Beloved, don't judge it just looking at our country or looking at Western Europe. The Church of Jesus Christ is still expanding with explosive speed. The gospel is being preached to what is becoming all nations. Thousands of people are believing the gospel every day. We must not forget that. Luke 5, when they caught the great catch, it says the nets were breaking. Here in John's, it says, although there were so many, the net was not torn. Isn't that wonderful? That the gospel net will never break. Never too many fish for the kingdom of God. There's no limit to the number of catch. And so we see here guidance. And lastly, now reunion. Reunion. Jesus had spoken to Mary Magdalene. She couldn't see Him, recognize Him at first, though she was intently looking at Him. Not until Jesus revealed Himself to her did she see Him. It seems here is a similar occurrence, but this revelation of Jesus was made through what happened. They could not see Jesus. It was dark and it was far off. Same thing happened 3 years prior. Casting their nets in a different place and catching a great catch. Here it is again. The last time it happened, Jesus did direct them to do it. And when they did, they caught what they caught more than they had ever caught before. Again, He calls them to do it here in a great catch. Similar to that account before. They caught a great number. John at once knew who it was. He remembered very clearly that night, 3 years prior, when they caught the greatest catch of their lives. They would not forget that. So great the nets were breaking. And it was because of Jesus Christ as Lord. He knew in this moment it was Jesus, His Master, Yahweh. Verse 7. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It is the Lord." At that moment, Peter remembered too. He agreed with John and he believed. John's reaction is typical. He's the man of insight often. Peter's reaction is also typical. Remember what he said? Or what happened when they caught the great fish. When Simon, in Luke 5, when Simon Peter saw that, he fell down at Jesus' feet saying, "Go away from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man." And now in John 21, Peter doesn't want Jesus to go away, does he? And so he jumps out of the boat. Like the spontaneous Peter that he was. So when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he put his outer garment on, for he was stripped for work, and threw himself into the sea. Verse 8, but the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from the land, but about 100 yards away, dragging the net full of fish. So when they got on the land, they saw a charcoal fire already laid and fish placed upon it and bread. Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have now caught." Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not torn. Jesus said to them, "Come and have breakfast." None of the disciples ventured to question Him, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus came and took the bread and gave it to them and the fish likewise. The other disciples came to their master as well. They knew who it was. They didn't dare ask who it was, it says, because they knew. Only Jesus could do that because He had done it before. The disciples were grappling with the strangeness of the resurrection and what it all means and Jesus leaving soon. And you see what has happened. They've come out of the night, and now it's dawn. They move from the water to the land. They move from frustration to fulfillment. They've moved from work to rest, from hunger to fullness. They've done their fishing. They've caught their fish. They've reached the shore. The work is done. Jesus is waiting for them. They sit down and they eat together. It's a picture of their future and our future. The fishing is to continue. It is going to be hard work. There will be weariness and discouragement. But Jesus is there. He's with you by His Spirit in your hearts. He's watching you. He's guiding you. His Spirit will make all the difference. And at the end, they will meet Him at the shore. At the dawn of an endless day, they will count their catch. They will rest in His presence. And Jesus says, come and have breakfast. This is, beloved, for us not only about our Christian witness, though primarily about that, this passage, fishing for men. We're out in the boat on the sea of life in various circumstances, doing various things, at times being very discouraged. And if you were asked, have you caught anything? Often our answer would be no. Have you been successful? Not successful as I'd like to be. Are you satisfied? Not as satisfied as I'd like to be. Not as fruitful as I'd like to be. Not as filled with the Spirit as I'd like to be. What's the issue? We don't perceive the presence of Jesus, the risen Jesus, among us. This chapter is saying He's with us. He's with you, believer. He's watching. He's knowing. He's directing us by His Word. He's ready to empower you by His Spirit. And we need to see Him with the eyes of faith. And say, as John said to Peter, it is the Lord. Saying in the darkness, the Lord is here. In times of failure, in times of trouble, it is the Lord. In times of success, especially then, it is the Lord. In all our life, it is the Lord. Jesus, Yahweh, is always there, reigning and ruling in your life. And our destiny at last is to reach the shore, where our Master is waiting for us to feast with us. He's already have the meal set out for us. When we count the contents of the nets of our lives, that there's far more done than we realize. That's what will happen. The disciples were in awe of how much they caught. And it seems we ought to be encouraged as well. We will be in awe with as many as well with how much we have caught. Even some unknowing now, probably many unknowing now. Persevere, brethren. You are called to press on. Jesus is with you, and He will bring you home with full nets. Amen? Let's pray. Our Father, we praise You and thank You for showing us very clearly that You are with us and that You are bringing us to a day of rest and fulfillment and a great feast with You. When everything will be light, there will be no darkness at all. There will be no night, no storms, no failings, no struggles. We look forward to that day now. But Father, we are in the midst of the world now, in this present evil age, in this time which You have called us to be, to be fishers of men. Lord, there is no pressure upon us. Because You are the God who saves these people, these fish. You are the God who sends the Spirit. You are the God who gives us the Word and enables us to speak the Word that they would be saved. So Lord, we ask that we would cast our net far and wide. You would enable us to do this, for we cannot do it ourselves. If we did, we would produce nothing, or it would produce nothing. Lord, we ask that You would work in us. Cause us to know that You are present with us always, That your Spirit, the Spirit of Christ, is working in us, the same that is working throughout the church, where many are coming to faith and believing and following after you. Lord, when you catch a fish, when you save someone in the night, the angels rejoice in heaven over the one who believes. Lord, cause us to not boast in ourselves, but boast only in you, for you're the God who is with us present. You're the one who catches the fish, though we are your instruments. And Lord, when we are failing and we are frustrated, catching nothing, cause us to remember your presence. Cause us to remember your word and your promises, even the promises we see here. As we look forward to eternal life with you, a feast and the marriage supper of the Lamb, a great feast. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.